Hello and welcome to this AAT podcast as part of the AAT Members Weekender session on social and environmental accounting, sustainability and performance reporting, given by Professor Adrian Enriquez from the University of Middlesex. It's a deeper look at the role of stakeholder engagement. There is a lot of talk about stakeholders in all sorts of situations, from government consultations to planning inquiries to corporate responsibility. I think we have a relatively clear idea about what stakeholders are, but what is stakeholder engagement?
Yes. Stakeholders are generally people or groups of people who have an interest in something. Stakeholder engagement is about relating to and communicating with those people to talk about what matters to them.
And why is it important to engage with your stakeholders?
There are three important reasons to engage with your stakeholders. One is that in general, stakeholders are crucial to how an organisation operates, so it must make sense to deal with them in a holistic way. But of course, all organisations do talk to their staff and suppliers and so on. They could hardly survive if they didn't. But what they usually talk about is what the organisation wants, specifications for suppliers, for example, rather than what members of staff or suppliers might want or be worried about, such as payment deadlines. Another reason is that it makes sense to engage with stakeholders. Working closely with suppliers and understanding their agenda as well as your own will increase levels of trust between the organisation and the stakeholder. One way that a higher level of trust can help is in avoiding costly legal action when things don't work out to plan. But of course, a more trusting relationship also leads to greater understanding and efficiency when things are going well. So there's a clear business case for actively engaging with most stakeholders, which will vary from stakeholder to stakeholder, of course, but the principle remains the same. Finally, it is not possible to understand the social impacts that an organisation has without engaging with stakeholders. Only staff or customers really know what really matters to staff or customers, and the best way to find out is to ask them.
So, obviously, stakeholder engagement happens in the normal course of business. Is stakeholder engagement something over and above that?
That is why planning stakeholder engagement needs some care. There is no point replicating what already happens. On the other hand, it may be important to add to what routinely happens in order to really make contact with a stakeholder.
So, what does stakeholder engagement look like in practice?
Well, there are many different techniques that can be used, and they should be chosen according to the nature of the stakeholder. Sticking with staff for a moment, I'm sure we've all been subject to the annual staff questionnaire at some point. A questionnaire is a useful engagement tool when there are large numbers of people and there is a need to form an overall view. But staff questionnaires often call forth groans when they are circulated, and there are two reasons for this. One is a common failing in much stakeholder engagement. The survey asks what the respondents' views of the organisation are. They ask much less what bothers, concerns, or pleases them. They are approaching it from the organisation's perspective alone, which naturally is of less interest to the stakeholder than their own perspective. The other reason surveys can meet with a groan is that there may be little confidence that anything will be done about the matters raised. So the response of the organisation, in this sense, is part of its overall accountability. There is a moral or public interest element to stakeholder engagement as well. Another technique of stakeholder engagement is an individual interview or small group discussion of the issues. This, of course, cannot be done on a very large scale, but such in-depth discussion is much better than surveys at discovering what the issues that matter are. And although it may not be possible to conduct them on a large scale, if a representative sample is taken, they can be fairly reliable a guide to the issues of the entire stakeholder group.
And what about partnerships?
Partnerships are often talked about as stakeholder engagement, and in one sense they are a very good example, because they extend the engagement of stakeholder engagement into a working relationship designed to address particular issues. Partnerships are perhaps most appropriate when dealing with organisations such as NGOs. Some high-profile partnerships include those between WWF and various companies, including HSBC on climate change and Canon on conservation, for example. However, partnerships in general are really very diverse. Some are little more than sponsorship deals, others have active working groups trying to solve problems of common interest. And partnerships have also been highlighted as part of the Millennium Development Goals as a key tool for social development.
Are there any other issues to be aware of in tackling stakeholder engagement?
Lots. But I think there are two things in particular to be aware of. The first is that for one of the most universal stakeholder groups, staff, there is often a ready-made consultation process. Unions. Unionisation has grown up as a result of a struggle to get workers' interests respected. It is important that staff engagement processes work with, rather than seek to replace, union channels. The penalty for ignoring that would be that the engagement process is simply sidelined. Another, and perhaps the most vital issue of all, is that the relative power or vulnerability of particular stakeholders. Some stakeholder groups are actually very powerful, and by definition they can look after themselves. Shareholders, as a stakeholder group, comes to mind. But children, or those suffering from some disability, for example, can be particularly vulnerable. What this means is that both the views of such groups are that much more important if you are trying to get a balanced view from stakeholders. But it also means that the process by which their views are sought needs to be planned with much greater care. You can't simply ask a very young child what their views of child benefits are, but in an important sense, that's just what you need to know.
Finally, are there any situations in which stakeholder engagement is simply not possible?
Well, there are, but fortunately, they are not ones which are routinely encountered in the UK. I was talking about vulnerable stakeholders. There are situations in which it can be too dangerous for stakeholders to venture an opinion. This can occur in times of war or conflict of some other kind. Even in the UK and Northern Ireland until recently, stakeholder engagement with all sections of the community would have been too difficult or too unreliable to be worth it. And that brings us back to the purpose of stakeholder engagement, which is to make their views heard. It is about their interest in an organisation. There is little point in trying to achieve that if it threatens even more basic needs. However, I should say that these situations are unusual. By far the more common challenge is just to undertake stakeholder engagement when it is perfectly possible to do so. And this can bring some real business advantages.
Adrian, thank you very much.